It's nice to be up here again. I'm not up here very often, so I love it. Okay, so I believe everyone's got their Bibles open, so we'll just start by reading Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. And if I make my bed in the depths, you are there too. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, or if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hold me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. You saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them even came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God, how vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do not I hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Did you know that there are over 942,562 CCTV cameras in London? Meaning there's one CCTV camera for every 10 people in the capital, and you are likely to be captured on CCTV in London 70 times a day. Wow. Sadly, I must confess that I got caught out by CCTV myself this week. Not stealing anything, it was staying too long in a Starbucks car park, unfortunately. Many people are often worried or complain about always being watched and having this big brother element, whether that's kind of on CCTV cameras, whether that's your mobile phone usage, internet searches, bank transactions. If anyone's ever seen the program The Hunted, which is a program where there's some kind of some real life detectives, and the game is that you've got to go on the run from them so they don't catch you. You'll know how much that the government and other agencies can trace you and know kind of who you are and what you do, which is perhaps a little bit scary. And our close friends and family will know us too. They won't know our bank transactions, but they will know our experiences and how we are. But I wonder how many people know the real you on this earth. Not the superficial you, not the social media you, not the work you or the home you, you at your best or you at your worst or the really anxious you. And have you ever thought to yourself, would someone still love me if they knew the real me, all of me? You see, we want people to like us. So we will do things and say things that we know pleases people. And I would suggest that this can actually be the same as our relationship with God sometimes. We'll do our best to trust him in all circumstances. We know that's what we should do. We'll work hard for our actions and our words to be kind and bless other people. And we will aim to worship him through everything we do. But who has mentally cursed someone? Maybe a driver that's just pulled right out in front of you. I was driving with my auntie this week and this van drove out and I've never heard her swear so much in my life. She thought we were going to have an accident. Maybe you felt a bit bitter about something or a bit jealous. I was speaking to someone this week who was expressing that jealousy towards, not towards me, but about something else. Or maybe you've done something and you think it's great, but actually you've done it for the wrong reasons, the wrong motivation. But maybe you try and hide some of those things because, especially in a church setting, you want to be seen as, you know, worshipping God, being very holy. And actually we keep back some of these things from each other and we try and suppress some of these things. We don't want to show them. recently, someone's done something very hurtful towards me. And it's been very upsetting. It's someone that I really, really trusted and has betrayed that. And that's been really hard. I'm someone that processes externally. If you've ever spent any time with me, particularly in a house group, I like to talk a lot. So I'm someone that will express these things. I'll chat to my friends and family and I offload and I'll cry and all of these things. And I have shared these things with God as well. And sometimes we do those prayers. I don't know if anyone's ever had a prayer where all you say is, why? Why, God? I'm so upset about this. I'm so angry. Why, you know, why is this happening? Or any other kind of emotional prayer. Who's ever said a very emotional prayer? Yes, we all have. But I know there's been times when I felt that the things that I'm feeling, particularly about this person, the things that I want to say to them, the things, you know, I've wished, and this is not me just having a public confession, but I've felt very, just that at times I want to chop this person's head off. I've not felt very loving towards this person. I felt really angry. And these are all things that I've tried to hide. Because on the outside, I want to be seen as someone who is a forgiving person, who is a kind person, who trusts in God and knows that he wants the best for me. Sorry, I've gone off piste. but God knows the real me and he has seen all of these words that I was going to say and all of these thoughts. This psalm shows us that God perceives these thoughts from afar. He knows our ways, even from wherever. I mean, I know kids think of God in the heavens, and I'm trying to teach Sophie, my daughter, that God is everywhere. And he knows us inside and out. He's interested in us personally and individually. Pretty intense, right? Like with CCTV, this can sometimes feel a bit scary or threatening, perhaps, that there's no escaping God and his judgment, perhaps. The psalmist here even asks God directly, where do I go to hide? There's a tone of despair. We sang a song earlier about thinking about how big and vast God is. With the dawn, now I'm going to try and do it your way, the dawn all the way to the east. So if you think about the east, that's where the sun rises. So this psalmist is thinking that's as far in the east as I can see. And then you've got all the way to the west. So this would be the sea over to the west, that some of that wouldn't have been explored at the time. And so that is as far as the eye can see that way. That's how big God is. Simply put, there is no escaping God. I just want to pause here. How does that make you feel? Well, I found surprisingly that even with these bits of me that I don't like, it's quite comforting that God knows the real me. You could say that God knows the real me and it doesn't matter because he still loves me. But I would say that God knows all about me, and that does matter. That matters to me and it matters to him. God is this faithful protector, which is a truth that I've carried through me throughout my situation. He doesn't want to expose us for who we truly are, all of those thoughts and things. He doesn't want to share those with everyone. But no, he wants to protect us. And this psalm shows us he wants to teach us and love us. As we read in Romans 8, Paul states that, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." So let's work out what some of this looks like in the Bible. I'm hoping I've got my right place. It's looking at an example. There's this guy in the Old Testament called Jonah. And if you've, you know, kind of been in church for a long time, you'll know the story of Jonah. And God basically gives him a mission. God says, "I need you to go to this place and go and tell these people about me." And Jonah sort of thinks, "Yeah, that'd be great, but no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going over here." And so he tries to hide from God, it says in the Bible. He tries to get away from God. And perhaps this is out of fear. It doesn't tell us exactly, but perhaps this is out of fear. He thinks, "I don't want to do that. Maybe it's too scary. Maybe it's too bothersome. I don't know what that is, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going over here. I'm going to go and do something on my own," thinking that he can hide from God. God's expecting him over there, and he's over here. But if anyone knows what happens next in the story, he's on a boat. The boat gets into big trouble. It's very clear that God knows where Jonah is. He's not managed to escape. So Jonah ends up in the sea. The people on the boat throw him overboard. And then what happens is God sends a big fish. Now, it's not a whale. A bit like Eve didn't eat an apple, she had fruit. It doesn't say in there it's a whale, but I know kids like to think it's a whale. So this fish swallows Jonah up. And it's in that place that God comes to Jonah. God found him, and they have a little chat, but God doesn't go, "Jonah, you're rubbish, I'm keeping you in the fish." God goes, "Jonah, I see you. I know that you tried to run, and you tried to escape, and you tried to hide from me. And that's, you know, that's something you did, but actually I see you, and I'm bringing you back now." He found Jonah. They had a connection. He comforted him. And then anyway, the fish spits him out, he goes off, and he goes off to Nineveh, which is where he was meant to be going. And great, and you think Jonah's learnt a lesson. He's learnt that he can tell God how he feels. And actually that's quite good, because later on in the book, Jonah gets a bit grumbly again. He quite literally says to the God, It says, "I am so angry, I wish I were dead." He literally says that to God. And you think God would go, "Jonah, why are you so angry?" But actually what God does is he comforts him, and he questions him gently and says, "Jonah, why do you need to be angry? Why do you need to be angry?" And I won't go into the whole story, but what I like about that is that God shows this compassion and comfort to Jonah. There's no judgment about all these emotions that he has. There's no judgment about, you know, we shouldn't be angry. We know we shouldn't be angry, but we are, and we're human, and there's no judgment from God in that way. Scientists will try and measure things, but God has defied our human need to know and control things. I can't help but acknowledge how we are so opposed to this. We are really limited physically and mentally. We are finite. We can be measured and quantified, which unfortunately is a sad reality when I step on the scales. Who we are can be defined by our personalities, our jobs, our roles, and our abilities. God loves us through that. So, before we finish, I went off piece, but I'm back on. Before we finish, there was just a few little things I wanted to pick up on throughout this psalm. Firstly, in verse 5, where it says, that God hems us in before and behind. And this, when I was praying through the psalm, and I'm, again, someone that's quite visual, I had a picture of my daughter. And on a cold winter's evening, who's ever enjoyed being tucked into bed? Or you've done the tucking into bed, you've got a child or someone, and you've put the duvet right in. And just so that person feels so comforted and so warm and loved, and laying, and the image here of God laying their hand on this person. And this is Mummy Bunny, this is Sophie's bunny. And what I have to do, so every night she goes to bed, she chooses one of her toys. And I have to put a big cuddle in this toy, because then she will then cuddle the toy, and it's like I'm cuddling her. And just this element of feeling really safe. And secondly, I just wanted to think about, I know some of the verses to do with being knitted in your mother's womb. They're quite common ones that we hear a lot at dedications and other times. And it was just something that really sparked me, like thinking about how there's a period of time when you have started to exist physically and no one else knows. No one else. Maybe that's a period of just a day or two or a couple of days until your mum finds out that she's pregnant. Sometimes that can be a couple of weeks or more. But there is that period of time when only God and no one else knows that you are those few cells there. No one else knows that you exist. No one. I just found that really, really mind-blowing. Okay, so I'm just going to leave us with a few things to ponder. And I've taken these words from an American preacher called Beth Moore. God wants to find us, not forget us. God wants to explore us, but not exploit us or expose us. God searches us, and is still for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, intimate creator and friend, long ago you breathed life into me. You blessed me with DNA, fingerprints, family, personality, interests, and I am filled with wonder and awe. Your spirit calls me to be the one you created intimately, the one uniquely blessed, the one true self I am. I cannot escape this call, and I cannot escape you. Your gaze, ever loving and ever yearning, is upon me. Be close. See me, form me, and help me to love. Help me to love the me that you intimately created. Amen.